Good evening, and it's a great joy to be here this evening to worship together with this community, Hope College, and all of Holland community tonight. The scripture passage that will guide what I will be speaking about is Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. This is what the servant of the Lord John in the island of Patmos wrote. Then I saw new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, he will give to drink without cost for the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and he will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Heavenly Father, as we hear you speak to us through your word, I pray that you may use me as your weak vessel to communicate your word to your people. Bless our hearts, illuminate our minds, and may your word land in our hearts prepared by you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, tonight we are gathered under this roof to bring our worship to our Creator. We bring our praises and grievances to our sovereign Lord at all times, times of joy, times of sorrow, and times of grief. For the last 2 weeks, this community and its friends have been mourning and grieving. Our hearts have been broken because our beloved friends, David and Emma, died on that tragic accident. These were young people who were fully energetic. They were full of life and had great dreams. These were young people that were energetic and full of fun. And as many of you who have just spoken, we were left with nothing but to ask, why? Why this time? What do we do? I know just like I did when I heard about the death of my spiritual son and friend David, I cried and I wanted him to come back. I lamented to God, why have you done this? Why? We loved David, our spiritual son. It was a very hard truth for me to swallow. We are still mourning and grieving because David will not come back to us. He's going to be with the Lord. And this is hard to believe, that his visit to our home will no longer be there. I knew David 10 years ago while he was a student at Churro High School in Kenya. And 3 days after his death, I went through some of the pictures that our family had taken with him. Seeing the pictures, I began recounting our time together with David. I remember the day when I baptized him. I remember the times that he visited our family and babysit our son Samuel. When I was a student at Western Seminary 2008, he would visit us from Grand Rapids and he would stay with us and spend most of his time just loving Samuel and impressing him. The time he sat in my classes at Truro High School as one of my students. The time he sang in high school choir, and the time he ran in the field with his peer, playing soccer. While I was contemplating on all this, my son, Samuel, came to me because he saw Dave's pictures and asked me, "Is Uncle David coming to play?" I began crying more. My son recognized that there was something wrong with me. He came close and said, "No, Daddy, don't cry." And he stretched his hand and began wiping my tears. When death occurs, it brings unacceptable, sudden interruptions in one's work, plans, and relationships. Though the inscriptions on many tombstones often read, "Rest in peace," the truth of the matter is that most people do not welcome the peaceful rest of the grave. They would rather be alive and be productive. Thus, it's not surprising that the subject of death and afterlife always has been a matter of intense concern and speculation. Though there are many things about death that we do not know, and the unknown can be somewhat frightening, the inspired Word of God does afford enough information that we may take courage at the prospect of dying. Indeed, by faith, we know that for the faithful child of God, death will be an absolutely thrilling experience. But I know most of us have some story similar to my story about crying and shedding tears. I know we have heard many times our beloved ones encourage us, like my son did, "Don't cry, don't cry." And it is true that trusting that God knows best can be a challenge for us to believe. The helpless feeling as we witness the suffering of a loved one causes us to reluctantly turn to God for help. It seems that all we can do is shed tears for those who suffer when all other efforts have failed. Upon arriving at this place of recognition, we must and can truly place it all in God's hands. He can then begin the work of walking us through the darkness of times into a bright and hopeful future. He will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things will be gone forever. As we have read in our passage, this passage in Revelation chapter 21, it highlights what is waiting for us. God has promised us an ultimate renewal where there will be new earth and new heaven. That at this very end, there will be no crying. The righteous will be in the presence of the Lord. But in the contrary, the wicked will be punished, separated from God's presence. We must walk through the grieving process and embark upon time of heavenly reflection. That question, why, need to be brought before the cross, because it is there that Jesus took it all, including the question why, that will never be answered. It is under the cross that we get that hope. This will in turn produce right fruits in our lives. If you find yourself in a time and place when it seems all you ever do is cry, please don't despair or lose hope. In time, the tears will vanish. Death is a reminder that It reminded to us that there is more to life than we can see. A time like this brings us closer to the cross where Christ died and paid for our sin. A time like this reminds us that there is hope in Christ through the power of this resurrection. A time like this helps us to confront the dark parts of our hearts and allow God to radiate them. A time like this provokes us to ask serious questions about life. What happens if I were to die today? This is quite a simplistic question, but it is very fundamental in answering that existential, very personal question. If I were to die today, what will happen? What does it mean when the psalmist says, "Lord, teach us to number our days"? What is the absolute comfort in life? Yes, we are mourning today. And as long as the Lord has not returned to consummate all things, as we have seen, we will continue to mourn. We will continue to face many deaths. But let us be encouraged, because as Matthew writes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted by none other than Jesus Christ himself. In my own experience, there has never been a time of tears like those that flow when death is imminent, close by, or invading our family circle. Nearly 6 years ago, I lost my father, and I've never understood it. He was a healthy man, but one morning, he met the unexpected, and he was killed by an elephant. And that was very hard, very similar to how my friend and son David departed. But this is our hope, that for the Christian, fear and sting of death have been removed. By facing death head-on as the true enemy, we become overcomers. We grow and taste our sweeter fruit for the outpouring of his vine. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Take hold of his promises and never let them go. We will be transformed. And we are being transformed even now, though we still house these bodies of death. And mark you, what a comforting reality to know that after this pain and suffering, after all these struggles, after all these deaths, in Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, Apostle Paul writes, "When our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory." Praise the Lord. For the Christian who is rooted in Christ, death comes as no surprise, for he or she has carefully considered his own life and is satisfied in the prospects of the new life that is awaiting her. The Savior and his heavenly abode are a part of his thoughts day in and day out. He has a spring in his step as he longs for his true home while carrying out the will of the Father here on earth. Ponder this wonderful thought that not only is Christ in us, but by his sacrifice, he has placed us in him through his awesome union with our Savior. He is transforming and preparing us to live with him for eternity, even now. In Christ during death, we have mixed package, a package of mourning and a package of excitement. We are not mourning like people without a hope. We are excited, singing, and rejoicing because death, as painful as it is on the other hand, a transition to a better place. The time is coming when we will see with our eyes the promises unfold. We will be reunited with our friends and family members who have gone to sleep in him. We will recognize one another. We will embrace one another in new bodies. And listen, Jesus himself will whisper these words to every ear. My son, my daughter, no, don't cry anymore. You have arrived. The voice of Samuel, my son, no, daddy, don't cry. I presume that is how God will receive us in the gates of heaven when all death will have been defeated. And he will tell every one of us, you have arrived. Revelation 24 says, Christ himself will wipe every tear. And that will be the last tear, my friends. No, don't cry anymore, for you are in the presence of the Lord. And it is pivotal that we reconsider our relationship with Christ now, because today is what we can say we have. For tomorrow, we do not know. These testimonies that were given today, nobody expected that David and Emma will not be present in school on that Monday, because we do not know tomorrow, but the Lord knows. And he says, as long as it is today, young men, old men, all of us, we need to reconsider our relationship with Christ and make it alive. And when that day comes, we will be with him. No, don't cry anymore. You have arrived, for this is the time. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all the insults and mockery against his land and his people. Isaiah 25:8. Everything will be new. Death will be no more. Let's pray. Oh God, whose days are without end and whose mercies cannot be numbered, help us, we cry to you. Let your Holy Spirit lead us in holiness and righteousness all days of our lives, that when we die, you will receive us by grace into your presence, where we will dwell with you forever and ever. We thank you that in your hands you have received our beloved friends David and Emma. We pray for comfort for their families. We pray for comfort for this community, and we pray for comfort for all of their friends. In Jesus' name, amen.